Oh, fuck.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday, October the 1st, 2015. This is a show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight I am drinking Eagle Rare. Quite tasty bourbon. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Flat Tire Amber Ale.
Are you? What are you drinking?
He is of 1,000 Egyptians.
Son of a bitch, the beeping's back.
It's a bomb! Get out of there! Run!
That's annoying.
I read about this on 4chan.
I put a fresh battery. I'm gonna have to put a fresh battery in every freaking smoke detector in the house, aren't I?
Yep.
Well, just as long as you're sure it's the smoke detectors and not your brain.
Well, you know, after a while, you start listening for it, and you kind of wonder if you heard it or not. It's sort of like when you have your phone on vibrate, and you'll start getting the phantom vibrations when you're expecting a message. Then you look at your phone, and you see, no, that's actually an emergency alert that there's a flash flood warning until 11 o'clock tonight. Well, if you all hear water on the recording, you'll know why. So, I should have water noises on my...
Get out, no latecomers.
Man, this show's getting full tonight. BSV, what are you drinking?
My usual angry urchard.
Big, what you got, man?
A fresh bottle of Four Roses. Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Single batch or the blend?
The blend, because I'm too poor.
Fair enough.
The blend's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Static. It's delicious.
Static, what are you drinking?
151 with a side of oxycodone, mirtazapine, and atenolol.
It's gonna be a good show for him.
Are we gonna need to send medical support after the show is over?
Possibly.
Support? No. We're gonna send medical cheerleaders over there.
I already chucked the first shot.
So you're coming to us live from outside the Viper Room, then, I take it. Generally, when most overdoses happen.
He's gonna start shooting his pills Left 4 Dead style, the entire bottle at a time.
Pills here.
We have a full crowd in here tonight. Did I miss anybody?
Sard.
No, I thought that was just a sound. I am just a soundboard. That's all I've been this entire time.
What are you drinking, Sard?
Shock Top.
What flavor Shock Top?
The original.
Ah, interesting. Most of the time, people are drinking one of the flavors nowadays, Shock Top.
Yeah. So. Yep. Oldie and goodie, or whatever they say.
Oldie but a goodie?
Yeah, that one.
All right. So, first up, we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight with some of the stories. I don't have quite as many, so we're going to take longer picking them apart, which kind of seems to happen anyways. But, so there's the first one. So, to open up tonight, I thought we'd talk about the coming ad block wars. We kind of mentioned it before, but, of course, Android, it's been a thing for a while, and, obviously your browser extensions have been able to block ads, but now that's on the iPhone. So, all of your major platforms now support some form of ad blocking. And, of course, iOS has had it for a little while, but now they've officially got support for it. And I was looking at some of the AdBlock apps on the store. Those things are sketchy. Those things are very sketchy.
Even for Chrome, have you looked at, or Firefox? There's so many AdBlock clones out there anymore.
I know.
You really have to look very careful to make sure you're installing a legit one.
Well, here's the fun part. So... we've talked about it before, but AdBlock has officially turned on their acceptable ads program, which means ads they think are not annoying, which if history serves, that means advertising providers who've paid AdBlock.
Yeah, I just got the pop-up for it today, actually.
Yeah, I got one on a couple of my machines, too.
The nice thing, though, is it says exactly what it's doing, and there's a link directly in the pop-up that comes up that says, if you want to completely disable this, click here.
Yeah.
And it's one simple click away.
Well, if you look at the iOS ad blockers, most of them connect you to a VPN. And they say, oh, no, your regular traffic's just going out on the internet, but the ads are going through the VPN and blocked. And it's like, really? Really?
Yeah, how the fuck
VPNs
does that work?
Don't work that way. No. But that does remind me of something I need to add for Dojo tonight. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody, you have to use an ad block program in this day and age, right? Is there anybody here not using one?
I think everyone here uses one. My problem with the way ad blocks are going, if it's a free ad block that someone can pay to get their ads through, that doesn't piss me off. There's some for iOS that you're paying to get ad block software on your phone, and then a company can pay to still show you ads. I think that's fucked up. If I'm paying to not see an ad, you can't then sell that ad to show me a fucking ad.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Be honest also, and Fox hates it. A lot of times, unless I'm using a computer, I mean, like, even my main rig, sometimes I don't install an ad block. Why? Because it doesn't really bother me. I don't know about you guys, but I've kind of become desensitized to ads on the internet. Like, every time he comes over, he's like, oh my god, how can
you
deal with this?
And it's
like,
feral beast.
Nah, dude, cool. I don't even see him anymore. It doesn't matter.
Okay, okay.
How are you
okay.
even allowed in the house?
See, you're just as bad as Fox.
What do you do about malvertising? What do you do about the ads that come in with the pop-ups, with all the shit all over the page, and, you know, they're trying to install shit?
You close out on them. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious, but it's still annoying.
But it's like playing a game of whack-a-mole. And when I'm trying to whack off, I don't want to play whack-a-mole.
Go to many sites that I really have to worry about that shit.
And you never been to a lot of websites that shit happens because they're either hacked or the advertising companies are sketchy. Or I'll forget I don't have an ad block installed on our new install yet. And go to one of them. And, you know, some of these sites, like, I don't think I'd ever been to Instructables without an ad block on until one time I sent somebody a link and they screamed at me and I opened it up and I'm like, what? And they're like, oh my god, all the pop-ups, all the crap. So I turned off AdBlock and go to it, and it's like, holy shit. So, but with all the ISPs wanting to go to metered connections, I mean, all these ads just waste bandwidth. You know, they talk to you, all the images, they're flashing. I mean, if you've only got 5 gig a month, I don't want, 500 meg of that being stupid ads.
But also, too, yeah, like, you get those ones that have audio attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got speakers, man, and it's just screaming out at a billion decibels, you know?
No, what's even worse, you find an ad that has audio, but you've got your speakers turned down very low, and you just hear somebody whispering in the corner. It goes on for like 5 fucking minutes before you track it down. The whole time you're like, oh, God, the schizophrenia is back!
No. So... But, okay, so we all agree ads are annoying. I mean, I wouldn't mind them, except, they do the pop-ups, they do all the crap, they waste your bandwidth, they slow your machine down.
You know what I think is more annoying than actual ads and pop-ups and things like that? The fucking websites that when you go to them, they black out the screen and ask you to sign up for their fucking newsletter.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Fuck those. Those are way more annoying, in my opinion.
So here's the thing with the ads, and one of the reasons I want to talk about it. So a mobile operator called Digicel announced yesterday, this is from Ars Technica, that it plans to block advertisements at the network level unless Google and other companies pay them to let ads through. They're saying this violates net neutrality rules in the United States, but this is in Jamaica. And they said, yeah, we're just going to implement network-wide ad block, and you can enter revenue sharing agreements with us if you want your ads to make it through our ISP.
I kind of want that ISP now.
They're actually, you know, and of course ours compares this to the Netflix agreement with Comcast. So
yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I can see that comparison.
So
the same argument can be made. Comcast was saying Netflix was eating up their bandwidth; they had to pay for it. Well, these ads are eating up bandwidth on the network.
So now we're gonna have the ISP war is of, we have the lowest ads on our entire network or whatever.
And then you'll have the other ISP, well, we have a lower price.
Yeah, because exactly. So now in order to get ads bought to the ISP level, it's going to be subscription based, so your bill is going to go up by $10 a month. And
but we've had ad-supported ISPs before. Net Zero used to do that. You had to install their program, and it would run banner ads across your monitor, like in Windows.
That's true. Yeah. But it was free dial-up.
It was free dial-up.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever pay for dial-up? Be honest.
Yeah.
I had AOL. Yeah.
Yep.
I just started another AOL account.
Right, but you start building up a reputation with certain handles, and... you know, you don't want, you know, my parents kept their email addresses, so. Yeah, they didn't want our, yeah, at the time, your yep. email address was still tied to your ISP, so getting a new account all the time was kind of annoying.
Yep. Do you guys remember Juno? It was kind of the same thing as Net Zero. Yep.
Well, yeah, email except based. That was email only.
Yep.
Yep. So, but anyways.
Your age, Grandpa.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, listen to what we just said. That was email only. Like, can you imagine how far we've come and what a different time and age that was when you connected to the internet just for email?
Oh, fuck.
So anyways, back to the article here. While Google may not be paying Digicel directly, they do pay for their own infrastructure and bandwidth in order to deliver content across the internet. Digicel claimed its demands for payment will help connect the 4.2 billion unconnected people across the globe. Carrier's 14 million customers. So, ours is going back and forth here. They're comparing it to the Netflix deal. And you can tell the guy writing the article is thinking the same thing we are. It's like, on one hand, this is nuts. On the other hand... kind of want it. I mean, but
I'd rather me just handle my own blocking of ads. Thanks.
Yeah. You see, and of course, they go further in the article because, you know, ad block is coming up here, and Google declined to comment when contacted by ours. Google's top ad executive said at an advertising conference this week that industry members need to collaborate to come up with a definition of what an acceptable ad is, and that ad blockers throw out the baby with the bathwater. And, you know, there's some truth to that. If it weren't for the fact that malware and, you know, if you've got an older laptop, like I've got some netbooks floating around here and a Sony UX, if you don't have an ad blocker on those things and you go to a website, I mean, you know.
3 years later.
Yeah. it takes so damn long to load it, and it's the fucking ads. Because you turn off the ad block, or you turn on the ad block and you turn on NoScript, and 90% of the web pages just come right up.
And I think he has a point with, I think I'll do the ad blocking myself. Because if the ISP is blocking any content, it's no longer a dumb pipe. What else are they going to block?
That's true.
And this is the elephant in the corner, I think, with the internet is, does advertising on the net actually work? No one's really willing to say whether it does or not.
Well, hell, even Sarge just admitted that he blanks it out mentally. So even if you don't have an ad blocker, you get to the point where you just don't give a fuck. So I don't think internet ads do anything except annoy people like us and marginally piss off my mom.
How does Google make all of its revenue? By ads. So that's why I still don't understand. Is it all this shit, it must be working on someone. It's not working on anyone in this room.
It works like the economy works. It works because people have faith in it.
Well, okay. It works because you have people who pay Google and Facebook to run ads. You have to remember, they don't give a shit if you actually click a link. Google does not care if you click an ad link. They've already, by the time they're showing you an ad, they've already made their money. Because I've been listening to some other podcasts lately, a couple recommended to me by some guys at work. And one of them is called the Smart Passive Income Podcast, which is hard to listen to because everyone on there has a hardcore Valley accent. And it's like I'm listening to Cartman constantly. Good God, make it stop. But they've got some decent info on there. And the last one I listened to, the girl he was talking to was constantly talking about Facebook ads. Facebook ad, Facebook ad, Facebook ad. And, they're paying $500,000 to run these Facebook ads to get people to go to their website and sign up for conferences or whatever the hell it was. But so the advertisers don't care if you click a link. They've made their money. It's the people paying for advertising that care if you click a link. But, then Google turns around and says, oh, no, we pay the websites that host our ads by the per click, right?
But still, I think those people that pay Facebook to show the ad, even if it's not necessarily clicked, they have to be seeing a return investment
sure.
in order for them to keep doing that. So, like I said, it's someone that's doing it.
With the interview I was listening to earlier, she said she charged like $2,000 for one of these conference things. It's some kind of a corporate training thing. So, if she pays $500 for Facebook ads and has one person return, buy through from one of those ads, that's more than breaking even on her. Yeah, that's a very positive ROI. So
it kind of depends on the markup.
Yes.
Because early on in Facebook, GM was one of the first companies to say, let's try making money by targeted advertising on Facebook. They were also one of the first companies to pull their ads initially because they weren't seeing enough of a return for what they were paying out. Because the markup on a car, once the dealers get their cut, isn't as huge as you would think. And they just decided, we have enough of a market share in the countries we're in that Facebook isn't working for us. And a lot of small businesses, they'll have a Facebook page that they hope their customers link to just for the networking, but they won't do direct ads because it's not cost effective.
But that's how these advertising companies make money, though, is you pay for the ad spot, and then the people hosting the ads get paid if the ad is clicked, right? But Google has already made their money. And if they're only paying out, paying to the website hosts, for the handful of links that are clicked from that ad, I mean, it's no wonder Google makes the money they make.
Yeah, and they probably pay out a cent or less per click on the ad.
I don't know, but we're all in front of internet.
I've done a little bit about this because I've been interested how people can do fucking YouTube and make millions.
They're not making millions off YouTube. They're making millions off their sponsorships.
Yeah, sponsorships. But
a lot of the people making decent money on YouTube isn't the ads on YouTube. It's their Inspiron account or their Donate to Me Here account.
But it's
Patreon. The CPM is pretty low. Like on the order of 10 cents per 100, depending on what ad you're using or what ad's being displayed and how big of a channel you are.
Just curious here. I'm just punching in what are the average CPM rate. Here we go. Average CPM rates and so that's what it costs to get an ad displayed. So yeah, CPM for display ads, $2.8 per million. This is from monetizedpros.com. Email ads are $5 per million. CPM. Clicks
per million.
Yeah. Mobile ads are okay. They don't have a good number for that. Video ads are $3 per million. So, yeah, you're not exactly making bank here.
No, and like you guys said, that's one reason so many people write
bots to
start
clicking on ads for them.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Cost per click. Here's what I was looking for. Yeah, I should throw this link in the chat so you guys can see the numbers I'm looking at and verify that I'm not just talking out my ass. I probably am talking out my ass because I've not really done a lot of looking at this, but hey.
Your ass is a wonderful voice.
Why, thank you. So yeah, cost per click in 2014 was $1. So if you're paying Google $500 for so many impressions and they're paying out $1 per click, yeah. So, you know, let's just, you know, average that out over a month. They might pay a website owner $50. You know, whereas they got paid $500. And everyone wonders why Google has so much money.
Because they have no overhead for what they're offering. They're a multi-multi-trillion-dollar company with like 6 employees and a pet cat and some dude in a closet.
Okay, they've got a lot more employees than that, man. They have a huge research and coding development arm. But, and they have server farms they have to maintain. So it's not that they don't have overhead. It's that what they're providing versus the cost of their overhead, on price sheets, it looks like they have no overhead. They have overhead, and they have significant overhead, but they don't have overhead that would match a company of their size in a more traditional business. So yeah, ads are a scam. but yeah, you're right. Patreon and sponsorships are how most YouTube channels make money. So when, if I ever get around to starting up my 3D printer YouTube channel, there you go. Are you, what are we, 20 minutes in?
20 minutes in.
20 minutes in. If I ever get that around to starting that up, I'll be hunting down sponsorships. Why not?
I'll give you $5 to go away.
Subscribe to my Patreon. Give me $5 and I'll go away forever.
Oh, damn it. Now you get me wondering if you get somebody to kickstart a suicide.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't give them my ideas.
All the things we've tried to kickstart so far, a suicide? I'm down.
Well, I mean,
this.
You know, go away forever. What would you call it?
Oh, that is got me really curious now.
Hey, 4chan, we got something for you.
I kind of want to start this now.
Well, this is up there with brining for whatever it was.
Brining for breast cancer. Yes.
Oh, just oh, no, we've got to get off this subject. My head is getting dark. The things you could want to try and kickstart, you know. Oh, think about it. Yeah, I'm going to blow up this hospital, you know, kickstart me.
And the cops are waiting for you when you get there for some
reason.
Oh,
this is what I mean. This is where we've got to start, because Kickstarter has like a moral compass when it comes to kickstarting stuff, right? They don't do misogynistic things, things like that, or racist things. We need to have our own Kickstarter with no values.
Let's kickstart that.
Yeah.
we need to start a Kickstarter alternative. What do you call your Kickstarter alternative? Shit the internet will fund.
Pretty much.
Or fund anything. We will fund anything.
We call it think it, dream it, do it. You know? just for the darkest shit anybody wants to kickstart. You know, we need to start this. Take 5% of the profits and call it done.
I like it.
No moral compass.
We'll just throw it up on tour or something like that.
Yeah, you want to kickstart your own revolution?
It's all encrypted and anonymized, so that you can anonymously donate to some, you know, somebody claiming they're going to rob a bank. I don't know.
This is exactly the problem we were talking about yesterday. We come up with these great ideas, no follow through. In 3 months from today, you watch, we'll be talking about some Kickstarter that started up for immoral purposes, making millions in Bitcoin. And somebody's going to hear this and run with it.
You know, I'm really curious now. Iron Angel has already claimed it in this freaking chat room, said he'll do it.
I'm curious if something like that already exists, though. On tour, you know, just, I donate this many bitcoins.
He wants to start Go Fuck Yourself, and it's a dildo fact.
Yes!
Yes, that's what it, I, yes, go forward and start Go Fuck Yourself.
I'm pretty sure that's already a URL. Somebody punch that in.
On it.
While Big is looking up that fantastic website, when you're done with that, Big, let us know how manhub.com treats you. SFGate has an article here. Hackers have stolen personal information belonging to about 15 million T-Mobile wireless customers and potential customers, i.e. anyone who's ever filled out a form on their website and, you know, either been denied or, you know, maybe T-Mobile was doing research, market research. Yeah, so potential customers in the U.S., including social security numbers, home address, birth date, and other personal information. So pretty much anything you need to spin up fake credit cards. In the latest high-profile breach, the hackers got the information from credit reporting agency Experian, which T-Mobile users or T-Mobile uses to check credit of consumers applying for phone plans and financing for devices. Experian said T-Mobile customers who applied between September the 1st, 2013 and September 16th, 2015, so 2 years, may have had their information stolen. And stopping right there, we were talking about this before, it's pretty interesting that it's almost exactly 2 years. Want to bet their data retention policy say we're going to keep logs for 2 years, and it was probably a hell of a lot longer than this. They just don't have logs to... Yeah.
They just purged the logs.
Yeah, September
I would
the
like
1st.
To point out my sphincter just unpuckered when you said anyone that did a credit report.
Yeah. But still, September the 1st, 2013, that's a convenient date. Nice of them to start on the first of the month for easy reporting. Oh, wait. I'll bet that's their cron job.
I was pointing out earlier to Morbs, just listen to how casual this article is. You know, this is like Sunday morning breakfast reading. You know, oh, the 15 million. The number's so, like, we don't get blasé now. Oh, it's only 15 million. Oh, it's hardly a target hack, you know.
Experian said it immediately notified law enforcement agencies after, of course, they did. And there's no evidence the data has been used inappropriately. T-Mobile customers can sign up for 2 free years of credit monitoring services at protectmyid.com/securityincident, and a service owned by Experian. So the people who couldn't protect your data are going to sell, are going to give you credit monitoring.
Yeah.
It's their own credit monitoring service. That's the thing. It'd be different if they were contracting out to a third-party credit monitoring. No, it's their own service.
It costs them less to do that.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt. Are you? You had a rant going there.
Oh no! I'll get back to it. I'm just like the amount of articles we read on Pure Decking exactly like this. They're becoming so casual. It's like we just expect it now.
Yeah, and we're becoming desensitized.
Yeah, this article really stood out. I mean, how casually it's written, and just like there's no sense of urgency here. There's no sense of holy shit, something really bad happened, guys. It's just like, oh no, it was just 15 million. You know, and then you got the guy like saying, what is it? It doesn't know who's behind the hack, but we're taking necessary steps to protect further breaches. What?
Yeah.
You know, how am I meant to believe you?
You're not.
You know,
half these claims are being vetted by the lawyers so that they, you know, are exposed to less lawsuits before they ever reach a newspaper.
And then the
Make
arrogance
you feel,
of the
give
fuck,
you the warm and fuzzies.
The arrogance of this fucktard to go, well, consumers, they can just check their credit reports for free at Annual Credit Report. So it's not my fucking problem now? Is that what you're saying, T-Mobile? Now it's your fucking problem. We lost data and it's your fucking problem.
Yeah, pretty much. That arrangement prompted sarcastic responses on Twitter. T-Mobile CEO John Legree, who is active on Twitter, responded to many tweeters unhappy with the resolution offered. I hear you. Experian as a service protection office. I'm moving fast as possible to get an alternative option in place by tomorrow, Lingray wrote on Thursday evening. Earlier in the statement, Lingray has said he was incredibly angry about the breach and that the company would review its relationship with Experian. Customers will be cynical about using credit monitoring from Experian, said Gartner security analyst Avani Latin. Why would you trust somebody with your accounts that's been breached? Still, she said the customers can still use the service, but as an alternative, they could check their credit reports for free at annualcreditreport.com. Okay, stop. Because those free credit report sites, they require you to sign up for all these services, and they're building mailing lists. That's what they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, just like everything on the internet, if it's free, you're paying some other. Yeah.
Was Inspiron compromised or was T-Mobile compromised?
T-Mobile's Experian account was compromised. They don't even say how. They just say it was.
This is what I mean. This is what I'm getting. The way this is written, it's just so fucking casual, man. It's like two puppies frolicked in a meadow today. Nothing else bad happened.
You know, payment cards can be canceled, ending the harm. But thieves can use somebody's social security number to open new financial accounts and take out loans for big ticket items. And then file false tax returns in your name, which I know happens.
So,
because you can have a lot of fun reading Pastebin for people's false tax. Go ahead, Static.
So you find here that they're offering the free, what you said, 2-year service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they probably let the numbers go for free anyways, so that way then at the end of the 2 years, they can get people to sign up for their service that they're going to be offering you. So they make more money.
That's probably true.
Well, this credit agency also does credit checks for mortgages, credit cards, and car loans. That's why I wanted to know who was being hacked. Because whereas not everyone has a T-Mobile cell phone, everyone applies for a loan of some sort eventually.
Yeah, but most customers, you know, if they're looking for a new service in their area, if T-Mobile is one of the people, one of the carriers that's providing service in the area, you know, how many of them go to T-Mobile, sign up, or not necessarily sign up, but look through it, you know, put in all the information, see if they get approved for whatever they're looking for versus AT&T versus Sprint versus whoever
else.
Yeah,
you know, to get pricing for your
right,
phone, so if you got to
exactly.
Do it all out.
Exactly. And so, you know, how many of those people inadvertently now are, you know, at risk?
Oh, yeah, but tons of people are at risk with that. But if it was on the credit reporting agent side, banks report to them on who's paid their credit cards. So to report that, they get credit card numbers or account numbers linked to credit cards, which you can use to get credit card numbers.
Most credit card accounts are numbers are the actual credit card number to begin with. You're right.
Yes, they are.
So when bank whatever reports to credit agency, so-and-so didn't pay their credit card bill for October or September or whatever, if the credit agency is the one that was pwned, that's another credit card account that you're just handing over to whoever pwned the credit card agency. I'm sorry, the credit reporting agency.
Well, it was their mobile account. So, yeah. But this is also a first crack at the story because it was just reported the other day, or like a couple of hours ago, actually. So this number is going to go up, and the impact is going to go up.
Of course,
we all know this.
How many companies use all three reporting agencies, and therefore probably have the exact same username and exact same account name?
Most don't.
Passwords.
Because you can report to one, and then that agency is required to propagate it to the other agencies. So if I'm reporting negatively on your credit, I report to whatever credit agency I already have ties with, and they can forward it to others. That's why your credit score can vary a bit from agency to agency. It's because not everything's been known to all the agencies at the exact same time.
Okay.
Same thing if you're disputing a bad charge on your credit. You don't have to report to all of them. You report to one of them, and then they have to forward that on to the rest of the agencies. Now, depending on how quickly you want this resolved, you might go ahead and report it to the other ones yourself.
So, yeah, it's. I mean, again, it's focusing on T-Mobile here, but I think we're seeing the very beginning of this. I don't think this isn't anywhere near the end of it.
If it's limited to just T-Mobile customers, I'm not going to say that's good, but it's less terrible.
All right. So this next one up is from The Consumerist, and I don't normally cover them because they're pretty much opinion, but this is just a fun story. So if you have AT&T Wireless story, your voice data plan is going to cost you the same amount of money each month regardless of your home address. But AT&T's broadband division isn't taking this one-price-fits-all approach. It's continuing to sell broadband access that can range in price by $40 a month, depending on where you live, and apparently whether or not Google Fiber is in the area. So if Google Fiber is set up, AT&T can be up to $40 cheaper.
Because of competition.
Competition. Let's see. In Atlanta and Nashville, Gigapower starts at $70 a month for 1 gigabyte of data speeds. In Chicago and Miami, where AT&T boasts now offering lower prices, the monthly rate is $80 for 300 megabits of data. So it's $10 a month more for slower access.
Wow.
What? Yeah. Lower prices.
So
I fucking hate AT&T.
Yeah, everybody does. So pretty much they charge $110 a month for their full gigabit service in some areas, but in all areas currently being built out by Google Fiber, it's down to $70 a month.
Competition so, drives down prices.
Yep.
Who knew that?
Say, it's a good thing.
Gee, what a surprise.
Come on, Google, put fiber everywhere.
Yeah, no shit. Or at least anybody. I mean, whether it's Google or somebody else.
Right.
I mean, just
yeah.
The whole net neutrality argument would go away. All the crazy pricing would go away. I mean, you know, I was having an interesting conversation earlier today about the company I work for right now. Brand damage would be a problem because there's 20 companies lined up behind it to take business if my company can't do business. But if you have something like a Comcast or an AT&T, they treat their customers like shit because there's no recourse. You know, they treat you like crap, get your billing wrong, and it's like, what are you going to do, sign up with the other cable company? Oh, wait, there isn't one.
Didn't we have a story about them labeling their customers like Captain Shithead and things like that?
Oh, yeah, they were changing their name in their system to, like, insults, and it was showing up on bills. So, like, you'd get your bill, and it would say Shithead on it instead of your name.
Nice.
Shithead don't live here, man, not paying bill.
Well, they bill by address, not by name, so I guess they got away with it. Well, but
you know, if Iron Angel would hurry up and start his website, go fuck yourself, the funding model, we could maybe have our own ISP.
Where we assign you a name based on how you talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll fill out the name change forms for you, too, at your local municipality.
Hey, you looking for a new online handle? Just give us a call. Yeah, you want to go call yourself Fucktard? Yeah, right here. See you, mate.
It's like, you've been recommending the same name for a month.
Well, one thing that's slowing down Google Fiber is if another company has already got fiber rights in an area, Google can't expand into it without buying it off of that other company.
Well, apparently there's several states where the agreement is not county or citywide, it's statewide. So as long as they're servicing the area where that decision is made, the rest of the state's going to basically get shit for service. And we know from doing stories earlier that they maintain VIP lists. So if you're a member of the media or a local politician, you know, somebody who could actually do something about it, they, you know, they've got you on a nice list and actually treat you well and take care of you. So... yeah, I mean, I have no problem with AT&T pricing based on competition and what they can, you know, what they can get. That's free market at work. I have an issue with government saying that nobody can compete with AT&T in these areas.
I think we all agree with you. Competition is good. Municipality agreements or whatever, like said, state agreements, that's bullshit.
Well, I mean, you've got local municipalities that want to start up their own broadband fiber. I think Chattanooga, Tennessee... started theirs up, and it's like $40 a month for fiber to your door. And
that's awesome.
They've gotten sued a couple of times by different ISPs for it. Now, that's not a private company. That's a state agency city, like municipality doing it, but still, it's something.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
What were you going to say, Mad Ben?
I was going to say, the suing the city... depending on how the city writes some of its ordinances, it can actually write an ordinance where it comes to fiber connections that they can't be sued for that. That's how crap, San Francisco is getting around being sued for negligence when it comes to homicides committed by illegals. They just wrote in their sanctuary city law that they can't be sued for it.
Yeah, we're going to violate the law and exempt ourselves from any responsibility of it. Nice.
Yep. Say classy.
So I'm thinking that may work with ISPs attempting to sue a city if the city's running fiber and then competing. Or running fiber.
That's funny. It's like, no, that only works when you're doing things we agree with. You can't do that with things we disagree with.
And with running fiber, I would possibly be a customer. $40 a month, really good internet.
Oh, yeah, I would
too. I don't watch TV. I stream stuff. Well, I rarely watch TV. I occasionally watch news channels, but that's it. All the TV shows that I watch on the internet.
I've started getting the phone calls about once every other week trying to upsell me on my service, and I've asked them to quit it, and they still keep doing it. And it's like, dude, okay, why would I double my bill? You know, I've said this to them. It's like, why would I double my bill for a service I'm not going to use?
But it saves you money.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they say. That's their argument. You've done it too, I guess.
Pretty much every couple months they decide to ring me up all week.
Those do not call lists get ignored, trust me.
Yeah, they do.
That and your name gets taken off of them every 5 years, even if they're being paid attention to.
Yeah, I'm currently in the phase of apparently all my computers have a virus. So Microsoft
calls. Have you
tried
being really, really racist to them on the phone? They tend to quit calling after you do that.
You guys have heard some of the shit I've spouted down the line to these people, like screaming at them, speak English. You know, what is it? Sorry, I don't speak English. Thanks for calling. Things like that.
I've had one start saying you can't say these things to me. That's when you go, well, you called me,
dude. I got one night, and I had quite a few injections. I pretty much said that she'd phoned a pediatric surgery unit, and that you've put me off surgery on a child that I was about to do, and now that child's going to die. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And she actually rang back after I hung up on him.
That's we got disconnected, sir. No, I hung up on you.
So she rang back going, oh, please don't let the child die. Because I pretty much said that because you've annoyed me, I'm going to kill a kid.
Ah!
That's great.
Amazing.
Not only that, but she called back after you said the kid's going to die due to negligence.
Yep.
Let me take up more of your time so this kid can die.
I know. They how retarded. But, that's why I stopped doing that one, because they call back. But yeah, I've done the list, man. The keeping them on the phone for over an hour, the fake credit cards from Pastebin. Everything. It doesn't stop them. It only encourages them. Just hang up on them.
Or just block the fucking number and be done with it.
Well, the other part of that, we get a lot of vendor calls and shit like that. Especially at work. It's ridiculous. We got on some list somehow. Yeah. There's also nothing that forces you to pick up your phone. There is a guy that I know that even if he doesn't recognize a number, he's not expecting a call, not expecting anything, will still pick up his phone. I don't know about you guys, but if I don't recognize a number and I'm not expecting a call, I don't pick up my fucking phone. There's nothing that says you have to pick up your phone.
Even if I recognize the number, I don't pick up my fucking phone.
I have to for my job. I work in the sector where, you know, we're working in the medical sector, so it doesn't matter. If I'm on call, I have to pick it up because I could get a call from who knows who, from whatever area code. I may not know the number.
Yeah.
I'm locked out of the anesthetic machine. Can you reset my password before the patient wakes up in the middle of this operation?
The machine that goes Bing has a blue screen on it now. What do?
I've never had that phone call, but I do know that phone call exists.
Yeah.
My very first call when I first started the job was, I'm a doctor, and I have a patient open on the table. My computer just froze. Don't screw up.
There's a tech on his way 4 minutes ago, sir, and I am sorry.
And the other one is it anyone I know?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. It's been far worse tonight, Morp. I don't know why I deserve that.
We can also go with, can you check his voter ID card? Tell me which way he goes.
Oh, even more, what color is he?
Oh, we need to stop this. So what was the story we were discussing?
I don't know. We're gonna
something about internet speeds.
We're going to move on to the next one here. I've already posted the link.
We've just gone from fiber to murdering people.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
Based on the color of their skin.
I'm sorry, sir. My ghost costume is at the dry cleaners.
I play a wizard in D&D. The Grand Imperial kind.
Oh, god damn it, Batman. Alright, everyone out of the gutter. Street sweep is coming.
According to IGN, there's a new app coming out called People, P-E-E-P-L-E, that lets you rate other human beings.
Oh, fucking this, amazing.
This is an amazing idea, isn't it?
Yep, it's Yelp for people.
From the people that bought you Teenage Suicide comes the Rate Me app.
Speaking of the stupid websites that start audio automatically, I didn't know what was going on. I clicked the link.
And another motorcycle. Corpse knows where I'm going with this, or should.
Yes, I do. So, a new app called People has been announced, in which everyone you know will be able to rate you as a human being. The Washington Post likens the app to being Yelp, but for humans, and reveals it's set to launch in late November. Posts will not be anonymous, and you will not be able to have yourself removed from the app. Once someone rates you, that's it. When people sign up, it'll ask you to log in with Facebook, so if just one of your friends decides to go for it, you'll be in the system.
One more reason not to be part of Facebook.
You're going to rate people in the three categories that you can possibly know. Professionally, personally, and romantically, says People CEO and founder Julia Connery. So you'll be able to go on and choose your five-star rating, write comments, and you will not be anonymous.
So there's going to be a Facebook policeman come around and check that I'm not making a fake Facebook profile to troll the living shit out of someone I want to see them kill himself?
Basically.
I can make a fake Facebook account for this now.
Yeah, dude, I can see this. Nothing absolutely will go wrong with this. There will be no suicides, no divorces. This can only make humanity better. And I, for one, look forward to signing up to it and everybody giving me a 5-star rating and everything. Because it's just going to be so good for the self-esteem of individuals. Because people who sign up for this aren't attention-seeking, vacuous whores.
Well, I was doing a bit of reading about this, and apparently if someone rates you and you do not have an account on their website, it only shows positive reviews for you. Now, that's not to say someone give you positive review or positive, like, stars, like 5-star, but write negative shit about you in the text below. At least that's what I read.
Yeah, well, so, I wouldn't know, right?
I had such a good time with Sally, I had to kill myself. Is that positive or negative?
It's kind of neutral.
You know what that's I mean?
That's
I thought I also saw somewhere, honestly, when I saw this on a site and I thought it was kind of, I thought it was fake. I thought it was all theoretical, but maybe not. That if you didn't have an account on their site and the person that signs you up or rates you, if they put your phone number in, it will send you a text message letting you know that your account has been made and that you can go view it, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Oh, great. Suicide prompts on the go.
Yeah, someone else can sign you up for it, essentially.
That's shitty. You know, you don't even get a choice. You're just, Yeah, you're signed up for it, and whatever people write about you, yeah.
More on my reason not to let other people know your phone number.
Wow. Like, absolutely nothing, as I stated before, can go wrong with this. I look forward to the rollout. I am going to invest in a crematorium. It looks to pay out in the future. All right. Whoever made this, man, they need to, you know...
No, they need to partner with Tumblr. We need to get everyone on Tumblr on this app.
Yes!
They will fucking cut their own throats.
Announcing the new merger with People and Tumblr. Now every Tumblr user has their own People account. Go ahead, rate your favorite Tumblr.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
You're looking forward to the next anniversary of the 4chan raid, are you? This is going to happen. The scoreboard, man. Think of the scoreboard.
It will be so one-sided.
Flawless victory.
In my visceral hate for mankind, not even I could be fucking devious enough to come up with this idea.
What do you think about the people that did come up with this idea?
Well, think about this for a minute here. What happens with... you go in... and rate somebody today, and you can't do anything about it. You can't remove that rating. 10 years from now, somebody's going to be trying to get a job, and they won't be able to because there's this rating, and they're calling that person an ass cunt. Or worse, you called somebody something on there, and you can't get rid of it. So 10 years ago, something you said is coming back to haunt you in a job interview now.
Years ago when you rated this random person an ass cunt, guess who that was?
So I see you want the job. You rated me a 9 out of 10, fucktard. Yeah, go apply somewhere else.
Oh shit, think about that though. Jobs ask people to provide their Facebook password so they can go rate your they can go see if you're gonna be a horrible person on Facebook and like what your hobbies are and shit. They're gonna go on and rate themselves fantastically from you now. Like, you won't have a choice. Oh, you want the job? Yeah, you have to turn off your social media accounts so that we can make sure everyone who matters has a positive view.
This is another reason I'm not getting employment. Because when they ask for that, social what? You know?
With this is these ratings, anyone on the internet can rate somebody they've never met. It's why... a Mountain Dew flavor should be called Hitler Does Nothing Wrong. At least...
They haven't learned. If it can be abused, it will be.
What, Lay's dog fart potato chips aren't good?
Oh, they're fucking delicious, man. Earlier this year when I was looking for jobs, I have never had one of those employers ask me for my Facebook details. Maybe they looked it up themselves. Who fucking knows? But they've never outright asked me, we need to see your Facebook profile. We need to see social media profiles. None of that's happened to me. Now, maybe it's just because I haven't been applying for Fortune 500 companies, and I don't know about you guys. Maybe it's happened to you. But for me, with my data points, it has not happened.
Any HR guy worth his salt would be able to do it just by your name.
I've been told not to mention my company on social network. Positively or negatively?
Yeah, that's about it.
But and they do check that. But they haven't had me release anything like, here's my password or whatever, which I can't give them because I don't have one. But they just check to see if we're saying anything. Facebook.
You a terrorist or something?
According to the Obama administration, yes.
My company has asked that I, align myself with the company standards within the realm of social media. So, like, for instance, my Twitter has to have their logo displayed on it if I decide to put that as my job.
And at least with companies that let you rate people, like Uber, there's consequences to your rating. And the person you're rating also gets to rate you. So it somewhat keeps people honest.
Yeah, but that's a service. Uber is a service. We're talking about just the whole company motto for this company is we're just going to farm data from everyone and be damned the consequences of the self-esteem wanting whores out there.
I do think this could end up being a net positive for humanity. I think a lot of vacuous assholes are going to kill themselves and remove themselves from the gene pool.
Okay, we don't advocate suicide here unless you're a pedophile. But, yeah, man, no, this is wrong. And the people that came up with the idea of this, they need to be vaccinated from life. Well, see, I do advocate the killing of people, but not suicide. If you have a gun, you have a gun. Go kill someone with it.
Don't kill yourself. Kill other people.
Probably a bad choice of words after the mass shooting.
Too many people are taking that to heart already.
I know. Okay, kill an animal then. Kill a cute furry animal. And then take a photo of it and put it on Tumblr.
Those things are tasty. Oh, God. Preferably next time I go hunting, I have to videotape the field dressing and post it on Tumblr. I never thought of doing that.
Madman, just make sure the animal doesn't have a name. We all know what happens then.
Oh, I want to name him. Oh, the fucker's name should be big, bold letters across the screen.
This is Bambi's mom. Stab.
Oh, man, that is... I don't know who's worse, the people that made this or the people on this panel.
People that made that, the people on this panel, you have to choose to listen to.
In all honesty, like, really, this is going to be bad. This is going to be real bad.
It's going to be full of children calling each other stupid shit. And the first time, you know, when somebody breaks up with their, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, they're just going to go on there. It's going to be full of stupid.
How long before this company gets sued for slander or libel?
They,
5 seconds
have
after
some,
launch.
They'll probably have something on there that you're responsible for whatever you say, and the company's not liable for anything. They're just an aggregate.
I think that's one reason they're making it where it's not anonymous, is so you have to go after the individuals. The company can say, well, Bob said that. I didn't say that. That was said by Bob. Go after Bob.
All I can say is going to make drunken Saturday nights very annoying because I'm going to have to make a lot of fake Facebook accounts.
Don't lie, you already have a lot of fake Facebook accounts.
I'm not saying anything. My name is not Julie, and I'm not a 12-year-old girl looking for love.
Only That's FBI agents thought. Are Julie.
He never said he was an FBI agent. Oh, mind blown.
Damn it. Damn it, Big.
Sorry.
All right. All the men are men, all the women are men, all the 12-year-olds are FBI agents.
And good on them for having a job at their age. So, next up here is, this one's from Time, and it's just funny. 11% of Americans think HTML is an STD. I'm not even going to read the article, the headline's enough. They did a study.
Hang on, how many percent? What's the percentage of people that
11?
Fill a dead air while I look up something.
Yeah, they're probably the same percentage of people that's going to actually use people and get the app and be like, I love this app, it's great. I'm just filling up dead air, I don't fucking know. So if 11% of people think that HTML is an STD, okay. Go ahead.
I found the information I'm looking for. 8 in 10 Americans believe angels are real. Okay, so...
The point of this story is America's dumb.
Scrolling down, they have firmer quotes. Apparently, 23% think MP3 was a Star Wars robot. 18% identified Blu-ray as a marine animal.
Keep going, BSV. This is funny.
Can I get chips with a side of Blu-ray?
15% Well, believe software is comfortable clothing. And 12% believe USB is an acronym for European country.
Holy shit.
Wow, the qualities of education in America have really slipped.
I'm so glad we found water on Mars, because I'm ready to leave.
Hypertext markup language is a sexually transmitted disease.
Wow. Hey, I'm with you, Iron Angel, man. Fucking MP3 was a fucking Star Wars robot.
And Blu-ray killed Steve Irwin.
Are you still hasn't forgiven Blu-ray?
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Taking that national hero.
Yeah, taking him too soon. Way too soon.
Should have been a flock of parrots.
PC3PO. Nice one.
Oh, that's a...
PC3PO?
Yes.
That is fucking amazing. It's going on a t-shirt.
Wow. You guys want to do the wetware story?
Yes.
Yes. Is it the one where they're trying to already ban sex robots before they're out of production?
In production or?
Before they're finished and actually can be purchased. Because I think
not that kind of wetware.
Yeah, this is a... Yeah, this is something else. So, let's see. This video watched people with brain implants control computers with their thoughts. They came up with a chip that they could slip in the brain, and the electric team of researchers affiliated with BrainGate, a consortium of neuroscientists, engineers, computer scientists, and mathematicians, have published a study in Nature Medicine that profiles two subjects who control a cursor with their thoughts more deftly than previous systems allowed. Basically, they're hooking it up to the part of the brain that controls their hands. And their videos of them controlling cursors are pretty decent. They look like the first time somebody tries using a trackball, for example.
Pretty cool.
That is neat. Do they actually have them typing out any messages with their brain?
No, I think it's just moving around the screen so far, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We're getting closer. Like, don't go hacking any limbs off just yet, but getting there.
So that's still pretty cool, though. T7 sears the cursor with among 8 radial targets. Both test subjects were able to perform the tasks in less than half the time it took the previous participant. Both the participants found the system relatively easy to use. Experiments are designed to make computers accessible to the disabled, but we're not only interested in computers. Yeah, if you can control a cursor, which admittedly is an X and a Y axis, you can control a lot.
Well, there are a couple things to point out. One, look at how many pins they're using for an X and Y axis on that chip. And two, even though this gives me a raging Gibson, it's just raging Gibson, I don't necessarily want electronics in my brain. I do and I don't. Like, the thought of a direct neural interface like something more advanced than this is fucking awesome. But at the same time,
you
what's going
to
happen
in
10 years?
Where the jack goes and you have to be concerned about swimming.
Well, not only that, but 10 years. That hardware is obsolete. What do you do then? It's going to be prohibitively expensive at the beginning, so do you go get an upgrade? And what is lost whenever they do an upgrade? Like, what's going on?
Well, I imagine the way it'll work is sort of like people have home 3D printers now. You'll have home surgery robots. So you'll stick your head in a box and wait 45 minutes.
Fucking
and then
fantastic.
You'll have your upgrade.
Don't move.
And each surgery will only cause about 5% memory loss each time.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I've already lost that much. I mean, can anyone else really remember when they were 2?
Oh, that was
I can get more of these in Tumblr, but I forget my childhood.
I don't want to remember when I was 2, Madman. Why'd you make me think of that?
I mean, I don't remember shitting in a diaper, guys. Just saying. There's already some memory leakage going on here.
I actually do remember shitting in a diaper, so... But we're not talking about last week. So...
Your fetish is your fetish. Keep it off the station.
Oh, for God's sake, my boss has been blowing me up the entire time I'm trying to do the damn show.
Oh,
does he
CNN
have pictures of you in
again.
A diaper? Is that how you're getting a promotion?
All right, let's do this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, first thing I have up is actually really cool. I really wish this messaging program would stop beeping at me. Losing my mind. So what we have here is a DNS server on a Raspberry Pi. It's a pre-built image for it or a script you can run that will turn your Raspberry Pi into a DNS server. You put it on your network, hook up the Ethernet, give it the static IP, you configure it a little bit, point it at the DNS server you want it to use, and then have your router change its DHCP to use the Raspberry Pi as DNS instead of your ISP. And here's the fun part. It blocks ads!
Awesome.
It's basically running a version of OpenDNS at home. And so they've got, you know, an ad list of DNS names not to resolve. So it's sort of like the trick with your host file, but for everything on your network.
Not bad. Pretty cool.
I don't have to install AdBlock on individual machines. I just need to put it before my router or after my router.
Yep.
That is actually pretty cool.
I approve. It's a good use of a Raspberry for once.
Yeah, I thought so. And
I don't know, the Raspberry Game Boy is also a pretty cool use for a Raspberry.
Yeah. But, anyways, and then finally, to wrap things up, plans for a 3D printer that is something like 70% of the parts are 3D printed, and it's actually got a really cool design on how it's moving the X and Y axis around. Most 3D printers use belts and pulleys. This one actually has a geared rod, like it's got a little gear on the, I guess it'd be a sprocket, on the stepper motors, and geared teeth on a rod for the axis movement. But it's most of the parts are 3D printed, so if you already have a 3D printer, you can build the thing for like less than $100.
Pretty cool too. Self-replicating.
I'm looking for the 3D printer that can just 3D print an entire 3D printer.
This is close. This one's actually close. The only thing it can't print are the electronics and the hot end. You know, the parts that have to be made out of metal.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to say that you can't hack apart a printer to print some of this, some of the electronics boards. I've seen it done. It's just conductive ink on some fiberglass board, and as long as it's not four-layer, you're good. Now I just need to source the electronics components.
You need a hot end, you need five stepper motors, and some, of course, the ramps board, the wiring, and two screw rods, I think is what it needed. Let's see, it's actually got a bill of materials here, and I didn't post the links for you guys, did I?
Oh my god, it looks like my first 3D printer!
Doesn't it? That's because he printed it in, you know, all these different colors.
It's the Fisher Price model!
Yeah, here you go, here's the bill of materials. Required tools: a multimeter for wiring, soldering iron, small rubber mallet to convince parts to join.
I don't know, it's really cool, but the thing that worries me is the accuracy of the initial 3D printing. So you're printing out linear layers for your X and Y coordinates, and if they're warped even slightly, that's going to fuck up everything that printer does.
Yeah, so if you're going to build this guy, you need to make sure the printer you're using to print it is well-tuned. Or order the parts from Shapeways or something that's going to put them down in a way that you know is going to be good. So, here we go. Here's the bill of materials. Yeah, rubber mallet, mineral oil for lubrication, some sandpaper, some super glue. Fair enough. Let's see. You know, so you need to build it. You need a power supply, $20. Ramps controller, $40. The in-stop switches, $5. The 5 stepper motors, $65. Yeah, those things are about, yeah, they can get expensive. J-head extruder with hot end heater and thermistor, $30. A couple of cooling fans, $4. All the wiring, probably $1. And $10 for the heated build platform if you want it. And you also need some Acme threaded rod, an extruder drive gear, some bearings, glass build platform. Yeah, you know, you can build the whole thing for under $100. So, including the cost of your plastic filament, it's not including the cost of your wear and tear, it's probably about $300. But he's got all the STL files on the website. He's got all the designs. So, I mean, I'm probably going to try to build one of these. It's going to take months to get all the parts printed, but I'm probably going to try to build one of these.
Cool. That'll be a fun project.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if it works, you could sell kits, right? Of course, Grant, yeah, getting definitely. It built. I had to build 3 pairs to be able to, you know, keep up with the, you know, orders for parts. But hey, actually, if you're getting that many orders, you'd probably just go ahead and order some decent 3D printers to just get them going. But still, I think it's interesting because this is very close to the original goal of the RepRap project, is to make a printer that can almost, entirely replicate itself. Because this is pretty much to the point of everything except the parts that you simply cannot print with a, plastic filament extruder. You could argue the threaded rods, but apparently he tried to get away from them and couldn't get it to work. So, I don't see being able to print a hot end with a 3D printer anytime soon. Maybe one of the laser ones, but certainly not with a plastic and not with a filament extrusion printer. Because you're not going to be able to build a device that can get hot enough to melt plastic that's made out of that plastic.
If you just had a laser CNC, you'd be golden.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, because then you could CNC all these parts out of something as opposed to having to wait on the frickin' printer. But, yeah, so still, I'm badass. Anyways, that's all I have for tonight, guys. How about you guys?
I'm good.
I like butts.